Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson for what's going to be a very busy Tuesday of the show. It is the night of the NBA lottery. Fortunately, if you're a Jazz fan, you don't have to worry about the lottery tonight, but it is the last year that we get this type of NBA lottery. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. And we're also going to talk to Coach Brittany Richens of the USU Eastern Eagles softball team. The season, it is officially over, so today we'll begin the first in what's going to be a series of season wrap-up interviews. We still have a couple of sports still in play this week. Track and field will wrap up, and also softball for the 3A classification, but we're going to begin the season wrap-up interviews. Coach Richens will join us live in the studio coming up in just a bit. Travis, we'll dive right into it and talk Major League Baseball, because the big breaking news story earlier today, which I got to be honest with you, it is disheartening. Robinson Cano, second baseman for the Seattle Mariners, has been suspended 80 games without pay by Major League Baseball after testing positive for a banned substance. That was announced earlier today.
For a team like Seattle, who's been playing good baseball as of late, a team that has the longest playoff drought in baseball without making the playoffs, this hurts Seattle, because I don't think he's eligible for the playoffs once he returns. I think that Major League Baseball went and changed the rules up on that. So once he does return from the 80 game, if Seattle was to make the postseason, I believe he's not eligible for it.
So look, under their new drug policy, a player is not automatically suspended for the use of diuretic, I believe is the way you pronounce the substance that he was found, that he was tested positive for, unless Major League Baseball can prove he intended to use it as a masking agent. Now, a source with ESPN said that Cano tested positive before the season and appealed. During the appeal, Major League Baseball apparently was able to determine his intent, resulting in Cano's doping appeal basically being denied. So he said he was given the actual drug by a licensed doctor in the Dominican Republic, and that the substance is used to treat various medical conditions over there and in the United States. He said he did not realize at the time that it was a given medication. I don't know. Look, these things are so interesting, and there's so many different ways you can approach it. You and I were having this conversation about Canelo Alvarez just a couple of weeks ago, right? Like a month ago. And I, in my heart of hearts, did not believe that Canelo Alvarez was a cheater at this stage in his career. Could be wrong on that. I typically like to give athletes the benefit of the doubt. As far as Cano goes, look, he suffered a fracture in his right hand when he was struck by a pitch this past Sunday, and so he's already on the DL. Now, to my knowledge, the suspension will count while he's on the DL, right?
But I believe that's true.
Yeah, so, okay. So the suspension's going to count while he's on the DL, but he has also had a laundry list, but several injury issues over the last couple of years. I can understand why he was taking this, and if he didn't know that it was on the banned substance list, you deserve to be suspended.
Yeah, you got to know. You have to know what you're putting in your body. You got to go over those lists. You just have to know those type of things. So for him, Robinson Cano, guy's 34, 35 years old. This hurts his legacy.
He's 35 years old already.
Yeah, he's been in, what, Seattle 4 or 5 years? I mean,
yeah, he's already 35 years old.
Good numbers with the Yankees. He's came over to Seattle. His numbers aren't as good as they were with New York because, you know, Safeco Field and Yankee Stadium, playing those two different ballparks. But you have to know what you're doing and what drugs you're putting in. And
you have
him,
to.
It's a big blow for Seattle.
You have to. Now, I was correct. The baseball drug policy does not distinguish between a healthy and unhealthy player. So it's just 80 games. Okay, so while he's on the DL, that'll count against the 80 games. But he will lose his salary of $11.8 million well, he's got a $24 million salary. He's going to lose $11.8 million of that salary, and he is ineligible for the postseason and the All-Star game. So if Seattle is to get to that point, that's a big blow. I actually like the way Major League Baseball has attacked the steroid issue or the PED or whatever you want to, HGH, whatever, however you want to tag it, the illegal substance. I think Major League Baseball has taken the right approach to it. 80 games isn't that big of a deal if you're able to get that burst, if you're able to get that advantage and use it later on in the season in the postseason. Okay, so I like the way Major League Baseball has this set up. He's going to lose $11.8 million, and if Seattle does in fact go to the playoffs, it's going to be without Robinson Cano.
That's realistic. Seattle could grab one or two wild card spots, and if they do, you know, you're going forward without Robinson Cano. So for Seattle, it's a big blow for a franchise that hasn't made the postseason in a very long time.
And don't forget, D. Gordon was suspended 80 games for violating Major League Baseball's performance-enhancing drug policy when he was with the Marlins back in 2016. He's also with Seattle. Of course, he's cleared his name since then. But nonetheless, disheartening because I really like Robinson Cano.
I do too.
But I think you hit it right on the head. You have to be smarter. You have to understand the fact that they have implemented these new drug rules, this new drug ban. With the restrictions that it comes with, you have to be aware of what you're putting in your body.
You've got to be smarter. And now you've hurt your team, and you've
hurt his legacy.
Yeah, you've hit for a guy who is probably on his way to the Hall of Fame.
You think he was?
I think he has the numbers. If you look at his numbers, they're Hall of Fame type numbers.
I think it's close. I think it's close.
Now, I don't know.
No, he's
probably
not not getting it now. No, he's not. I mean, a lot would have to happen for him to get it. To me, he's borderline anyway. We're talking about an eight-time All-Star, borderline to begin with. I think maybe if he was one of the guys that get in, it's something that we debate on the show when that time comes. He's not getting in now. There's no way. Let's take a look at what's happening in Major League Baseball. Full slate of games coming up tonight. We'll begin with an interleague matchup. The Yankees and the Nationals going toe-to-toe. Tanaka will go up against Gio Gonzalez. 5 o'clock start time there. We get Philly at Baltimore. The White Sox will travel to beat the Pirates. The Tigers will welcome in the Indians. We get Toronto at the Mets. The Red Sox host the A's. The Dodgers are on the road to take on the Miami Marlins. Alex Wood will take the mound for the Dodgers tonight. That's not the big story. The big story is Justin Turner is back for this team. I don't think he's the savior, but it can't hurt.
No, much needed. You got to get some offense into that lineup. So slowly the Dodgers are going to be fine. I still say the Dodgers are fine.
I don't know. I don't know if they're fine. Yu Darvish is going to be on the mound tonight, speaking of the Dodgers, for the Chicago Cubs. He's got a 6 ERA. He's 0-3 with a 1.57 whip. Speaking of individuals that need to get back on the right track, Yu Darvish needs to get on the right track. And tonight, they're going up against the young and powerful Atlanta Braves at 5:35. 6:10 tonight, we get the Cardinals and the Twins. The Royals play host to Tampa Bay. We get Milwaukee at Arizona in the 7 o'clock hour. 3 games at 8 tonight. We get Houston at the Angels. The Mariners will play host to the Rangers, and we get the Reds on the road to take on the San Francisco Giants. Yes, the Reds could not win forever.
The Reds, I thought, really had a chance to, you know, lose one or two more games the rest of the season, but last night they ran into the Giants, and the Giants got them. So we start a new streak today.
Yeah. Tonight in the NBA, Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals, we get the Cavaliers and the Celtics. Celtics, 25-point victory in Game 1, looking to put LeBron and company in a 2-0 hole. Last night, we had Golden State and Houston. I do want to talk about that game if we get time a little bit later on in the show. We are going to break for just a moment. Local sports recap is coming up. Plus, again, Brittany Richens of the USU Eastern Eagles will join us in just a few minutes. It's a Tuesday edition of the show. We're back after this. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. Registration is now open for the annual San Rafael Classic Triathlon, which will take place Friday, July 13th with the annual pasta dinner, followed by the event on Saturday, July 14th. Registration is available online, and yesterday during KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we were joined by Wade Allenson, who was the lieutenant with the Emory County Search and Rescue, and he talked about this event, which serves as one of the biggest fundraisers of the year for the Emory County Search and Rescue.
It's really a great event. It's an exciting time. It motivates a lot of people in the county to get out and you know, get the winter behind us and get out and start. It gives people a goal to work towards some exercising.
This particular triathlon has developed such a great reputation based on the uniqueness, which includes a closed course and, of course, the kids' triathlon. Allinson continued.
We have a couple of unique things about this triathlon that's very, very unique just to Emory County. One is it's a closed course event, meaning the lake is shut down, the road is shut down, so the only people in these different disciplines is going to be competitors. The second thing that's very unique is we offer a kids triathlon, and we're one of the only ones in the state. It's a very abbreviated triathlon for younger kids. You can view pretty much the entire event right from the park.
Again, the triathlon is still 2 months away, but you can register online by visiting sanrafaelclassic.com. We move over to junior college baseball. And three Utah State Eastern baseball players have received all-conference honors this past weekend at the conference tournament in Twin Falls. Sophomore first baseman Jarrett Hunt was named to the all-conference first team. Hunt led the Eagles in batting average with a .346. He also finished with 46 hits, 24 RBIs, and 7 doubles. He was fourth in the SWAC conference in fielding percentage as well. Sophomores Jared Lesser and Jesse Rowley were both named to the all-conference second team. Lesser, a BYU signee, pitched in a team-high 66 innings and earned a team-high 5 wins in 2018. He threw 62 strikeouts and had an ERA of 5.18. Rowley, a Cal Bakersfield signee, played multiple positions for the Eagles, including third base and outfield. During his sophomore season, Rowley batted .331. We'll stick with baseball, but we move over to the Legion ranks. And tryouts for this year's Hopper American Legion baseball team will take place on Monday, May 21st at 6 p.m. at Ernie Gardner Field in Hopper. Carbon High School manager Jeff Cincinnurus will once again coach the Helper squad, which has been around for over 55 years. Typically, the Legion team is made up of kids who are seasoned baseball players and have adequate high school experience. For that reason, Cincinnurus will also field a team in Utah's Perfect Game League, which will consist of incoming freshmen and sophomores. Anyone born in 1999 or after is eligible to participate in American Legion baseball. All players from Carbon and Emory County are welcome to join tryouts. Those seeking more information on the tryouts or the upcoming season may contact Cincinnurus at 820-8379. Today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we will begin our season wrap-up interviews with local coaches in the baseball and softball season. Up first will be Brittany Richens, manager of the USU Eastern softball team, who just completed their second year of existence. The Lady Eagles finished in the middle of the pack of conference play, but their season came to a close with back-to-back losses in the first two rounds of the conference tournament. Coach Richens will join Drive Time Sports today at 4 p.m. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
Tuesday edition of the Coach's Corner, and today is actually going to begin our season wrap-up interviews. We're going to be doing this over the next several days, recapping the baseball and softball seasons for Emory, USU Eastern, and Garbin High School. Today we're going to begin with USU Eastern. Travis, the softball team, only in their second year of existence, I mean, they battled. They had opportunities this year to actually finish inside the top three in the conference, which is a very talented conference when you take Salt Lake and Snow and CSI and Southern Nevada. I mean, it's a tough, tough group to begin with. It was a successful year going 14-17 in conference play.
Yeah, each year you continue to lay the foundation for the program from year one to year two where they've improved. Now you're heading into year three. You're getting more comfortable with the girls that you want to recruit, bring them in, and move forward from there. And, you know, by maybe next year, you're up to that two, maybe battling for that one spot.
I think so. Now, to talk a bit about that, we have Coach Brittany Richens in the studio with us right now. Coach, a pleasure to get you in today. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Definitely, Coach. The softball season is over. It was a series of ups and downs for you guys throughout the year. I mean, we had talked over the last couple of weeks, and you guys had played really good softball at times this season. It carried over into the conference tournament, but unfortunately, it was a quick two games and done.
Yeah, I think we were a little tired.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, let's be real. When you play a season that's this long, we don't have the depth that some of the other schools have. I mean, that's just being factual.
Yeah, and plus no bye weeks either, so right. That's really hard. But
As far as some of the ups for the team this year, I mean, what were some of the massive positives, Coach, that you look back on now that the season is over and say, you know what, yeah, that was some silver lining for us?
I think the funnest thing was beating two nationally ranked teams twice. We were kind of the underdogs going into the games, and the girls just really came through and pulled through and got a couple walk-off wins and a couple road wins against Slick. So I would say that's probably the most memorable part of it for me as a second-year program.
Well, and you guys were right in the thick of it as far as conference play goes. Had an opportunity to actually finish third in conference.
Yeah, we had to beat Snow 3 out of the 4 times our last home conference. I really thought we would have done that, but we fell short, needed maybe one more pitcher. So,
Throughout the year, there were times where you guys would go toe-to-toe with some squads. You'd start off strong, finish slow, or vice versa. I mean, it just seemed like in a lot of losses, you guys were in these games. They weren't blowouts, to say the least.
Yeah, I think what's something that's really hard is we almost had CSI beat 3 times, and we ended up losing 15-7. It's like we just had one bad inning. And that was kind of our arch-nemesis, however you say that word.
Arch-nemesis.
Yeah. This year. So that sucked, but I mean, it happens.
It happens. It definitely happens. You do have a lot of freshmen on the team that will be coming back next year. And so as far as what they were able to accomplish this year moving into next season, how much easier is it going to be for you?
I think it's going to be fun for the new new freshmen and for the returners that are coming back. JUCO is such a rollover process.
Yep.
You know, I wish I could have them all for all 4 years. And that's the hardest thing about being a coach is kind of making that relationship with them and letting them go at certain times. So I think the freshmen are going to want it even more next year than what our returners wanted it this year.
And from a recruiting standpoint, now that you have 2 years under your belt, that's got to be easier for you as well, because now you can actually take them a program where beforehand, I mean, you're almost selling a dream, right? Because it's non-existent at that point.
Yeah, so my first year I was kind of selling the thought of a come make history, mm-hmm. You know, and now I can sell the fact that in our second season, we beat nationally ranked teams, so...
And you guys play in a very tough conference as well.
Yes, it's very hard.
And we're talking about 4 pretty solid teams. In Colorado, I know they have their ups and downs, but you never really know what to expect with them. With that being said, you guys had several individuals that picked up all conference, all region honors as well, and that's impressive as well. 9 total got recognition. I mean, that's a lot for a second-year program.
Yeah, our first year we had 1, and she got second team, and then this year we had 1 on first team, 3 on second team, and 5 that were honorable mentions. So on the honorable mention, it means that they got a vote from a different coach in the conference. So,
well, let's talk about a couple of these girls. First off, Cassidy Howe. Again, she was second team all conference last year, gets mm-hmm. first team this year.
Yeah.
So when you talk about players that will have a lasting imprint on this program, Cassidy Howe has got to be one of them, because she was top notch for you guys for 2 years.
Oh yeah, for sure. She got Scenic West Athletic Player of the Week twice and was National Player of the Week once. Us as a coaching staff honestly believe she was the player of the year. She was good offensively and defensively for us, whereas some others may have just been good offensively. So we believe that she should have been the player of the year and was the all-around player for the SWAC.
She batted like .515 or something like that, didn't
she? Yeah,
she
I think she was fourth in the nation with her batting average.
That's
at one
insane.
Point, she was first at like .547 or something like that. So
that's nuts to think about. No, she's definitely been a standout. And then there are some other girls. I know Maddie Blauer, she got second team, if I remember correctly as well. And this is a girl that's been a part of the program for 2 years. So it's, you know, girls like that. I mean, you're saying goodbye to the original members.
Yeah, I would say they're probably one of my hardest 2 players to kind of miss and positions to fill. Whoever's coming in definitely has big shoes to fill in those 2 positions.
Again, we're being joined right now by Brittany Richens, manager of the USU Eastern Girls Softball Squad. With that being said, you take a look at the girls that you were saying goodbye to. Outside of Cassidy Howe and outside of Madison Blauer, who are some other girls that will be severely missed on this team?
I'm going to miss all my sophomores. You know, they kind of made the year for us, and they've been a lot of fun, and they were really good supporters of the team and kind of what we were trying to do as a program and coaching staff.
And how many of them were 2 years for you out of your championship? Quite a few, didn't
besides
you?
Besides Cassidy and Maddie, there was Angeliki Lokini and Alex Blauer.
Okay, so
and
then, four of them.
Yeah, and then Shelby Shirtlift transferred from Slick.
Right.
So.
Right. So again, you have those girls that are original Eagles. I mean, that's kind of it's kind of crazy because you and I were talking before the program had even started. Now we're talking about your third recruiting class coming in. How has the recruiting trail gone for you up to this point?
Oh, I think it's getting much easier. The girls are kind of coming to us instead of having to look for them. Mm-hmm. So it's been really nice. And I have a couple of guys in Salt Lake that actually recruit for me. So that makes it nice, too, because then they just send me names and I just go watch them or, you know, they just send me information on them. And so that's really nice.
Well, let's be honest. If you're a JUCO coach, especially in a smaller market, you have to use every outlet possible because you just don't have the budget nor the time to do it all.
Exactly. Yes. Yep.
So that's good that you have those outlets. Coach, let's talk about some camps that you have coming up. Less than a month, you're going to welcome in both young and old. I mean, you kind of have a whole camp for designed towards everyone.
Yeah. On the 11th of June, we are going to do a camp for 8th grade and younger. I have Bob Schober coming to help. He was the hitting coach at BYU. And then on the 12th, we're going to do 9th grade and above. And, I mean, that's really good for anybody that is interested in Eastern just because of the fact of us seeing them on a more personal level for a longer amount of time.
So what are some of the things that these kids will pick up at this camp?
We'll do fielding, hitting, pitching, catching, defense. And if I get enough interest, we'll do a campus tour for the older group of kids.
And, and as you mentioned, it is important for these freshmen, sophomores, it is important for them to get acclimated to a program if they want to play softball past high school.
Yeah. If you're starting recruiting processes in your junior year, you're late.
Right.
So,
right.
Not necessarily for JUCO, but if you're wanting to go and play big, you know, big time ball, you're way late if you're waiting till your junior year to start your recruiting process.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And as far as the help that you have, as far as your assistants, I know your staff has changed a little bit. Do you have a staff in place now that you're happy with as far as coaches?
Me and Chad Blackhurst.
Yeah.
He is Avery's dad, and my assistants kind of just kind of quit on me in the middle of the season, which is okay. You know, people have life changes and that happens. And he really stepped in and helped me, and he wants to come back next year. So we're going to have him and hopefully add a pitching coach. So
how much do you have to rely on an assistant? For those who are unaware, I want this out of your own words because I see how much assistants do and how valuable they can be to a program. It's almost crucial to have a key assistant, isn't it?
Yeah, he's been a lifesaver for me. Not only on the field, but off the field. He's a really great guy and really helped our programs and helped build the confidence of our girls.
So, Coach, moving into next season, what are some of the things that you would like to see improve within the program?
I would say my pitching staff. Mm-hmm. We're bringing Carly Levy back. She's our only one that will be back from our pitching staff. Besides Mackenzie Dorney, she threw a little bit, but, I mean, she's probably more of a middle infielder than our being a main pitcher. So I'd say pitching and hopefully consistency in finishing a game.
Yeah. That comes with experience, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Have you grown as a manager?
Oh yeah.
You can tell night and day difference between Coach Richens last year to Coach Richens this year.
Yeah. I think it's been a lot more fun and personable to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's helped me grow as a person, and, it's nice to see the girls grow and how much they appreciate you.
Well, Coach, we'll end with this. I want to move back over to the camps. For anyone that is interested, once again, what's the best way to find information on registering for your camp?
It's on my Facebook page and on the softball page. I believe they are going to post it on our main athletics page as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can just shoot me an email and I'll just give them any information.
And what's your email?
Brittany.Richens@usu.edu.
Coach, I always look forward to you stopping by and having conversations about the team. Thank you again. Congratulations on completing year number two, and hopefully we just continue to get a little bit better each year going into year three.
Yes, hopefully. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. That's Coach Brittany Richens of the USU Eastern Softball Squad. We've got a break for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk NBA lottery. It's tonight. Who has the most to lose? Who has the most to gain? We'll talk about all that and what it means for several teams that we'll be keeping an eye on tonight. It's coming up here on this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
With the sixth pick in the 2014 NBA Draft, the Boston Celtics select Marcus Smart from Oklahoma State University.
This is Marcus Smart from the Boston Celtics, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Marcus Smart, what a spin move and a finish. Hard to handle Marcus Smart, whether he's outside or inside the paint.
Tonight, it's the NBA lottery. You know what the great thing is? If you don't care about the lottery, that means your team had a pretty successful year. Jazz fans probably do not give a hoot about the lottery tonight, which is a good thing. Like, if you're not in it, it's a good thing.
Yeah, this lottery thing used to be 10 minutes long. Now it's turned into an hour.
It's a farce.
It's just, yeah.
Lottery's a farce in the NBA.
Pong those balls out of that little thing, that machine, and get on with it.
It is the final year of the NBA lottery as we've known it for 25 years.
Since the frozen envelope.
Right. Two teams in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Cavs and the Celtics, could actually end up with the top two picks. Can you believe that?
A lot of trades and a lot of protected picks being switched back and forth. So, yeah, they could end up in the lottery, and those both of these teams are fighting to get to the finals.
Okay, we can talk about some of the prospects that are sought after, but you say, how could the Cavs and the Celtics get the top two picks? Here we go. Follow me here.
I'm ready.
The Celtics have a small chance because the Lakers traded picks for Steve Nash 6 years ago. The Suns then traded those picks for Brandon Knight to Philadelphia. And then the Sixers traded a shot at that pick along with one of their own, Jason Tatum, to get the number one pick in 2017 and selected Markelle Fultz. Did you get all that?
Got all that.
Okay. If the Laker pick tonight does not land at number two or number three, the Sixers, who are Boston's conference rivals, mind you, will nab it. Okay, it could be number one. So imagine this. The Sixers could get the number one pick in the draft tonight as well. Long shot. Odds are it's not going to happen, but it's possible. So three teams in the Eastern Conference. Celtics, Cavs, Sixers. All could land the number one spot in the lottery tonight.
Teams that are already good.
Teams are already good, okay? The Cavaliers actually have a pretty decent chance to land in the top three. Are you ready for this?
Ready.
Okay, I'm going to throw the scenarios out there as to how this happened. The Brooklyn Nets traded Boston a grip of picks for Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Jason Terry years ago. Kyrie Irving didn't want to play in Cleveland anymore, so Cleveland traded him to Boston for one of those picks, plus Isaiah Thomas, who they also traded to L.A. as the Lakers cleared cap space to potentially poach LeBron James this summer. Did you get all that?
Got all that.
Are you sure? Are you just, is it white noise, or are you really understanding what I'm saying?
No,
are
you
following
it?
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I got a good understanding of most of it. So
okay,
just
but if you don't understand what I'm saying, the listeners aren't understanding, so you can follow that.
They can follow that.
Right.
Write it down if you didn't.
It's ridiculous. Luka Doncic may actually be the prized possession in this NBA draft. I think many have slated him number one. Hyperbole, maybe, but they say he may be the greatest foreign prospect in the history of the NBA. I know he's a 6'8" guard. I haven't watched Luka Doncic play a full game of basketball. I've seen highlights, and I'm always really careful with highlights. I remember here on the show, the night the Utah Jazz selected Enes Kanter, I said, I don't know about this pick. And I remember having the conversation with you. And the reason I said, I don't know about the pick is because he never played at Kentucky. And all I got to see was highlights. Everybody looks good in highlights. I could go out to the park right now and play basketball, and I could have you film me, and we could slice it and dice it and send it to a college, and it would look halfway decent. Right? Everybody looks good in highlights.
Everybody does.
Everybody does.
That's why they make those videos.
But there is something to this kid. I think he is the real deal. And I do believe that whoever gets the number one pick will actually take Doncic. And the reason I say that is because he is a 6'8" guard that has the ability of Ben Simmons, and that seems to work out okay. But you also have Ayton as well, DeAndre Ayton. So it's kind of a push. Is it going to be Ayton or is it going to be Doncic? I think if you pulled right now, if you pulled 30 NBA GMs, all 30, they may be split. And of course, I also think it's all going to matter on what the team need is. And at the end of the day, just because you win the lottery does not mean it is your pick. You may, in fact, sell that pick down the road for a team that is willing to pay if they fall in love with one of the two prospects. And I don't think there's any debate. Doncic and Ayton are 1 and 2. I don't think there's any debate. I don't think anyone's going to debate you on that. to me, it's kind of the Ben Simmons, Brandon Ingram deal all over again. I don't know that we had that last year with Fultz and Ball and Tatum. You know, you go back 2 years ago, it was Ingram and it was Ben Simmons. I think it's kind of the same this year. Who do you prefer, Doncic or Ayton? But when you're looking at what teams have to lose, who could be the big, who needs this tonight? I mean, obviously, every team would love to have the number one pick, but when you look at the lottery odds and you look at the teams in the lottery, who needs the number one pick most?
I would go with Cleveland.
Why do you say that?
To entice LeBron James to stay with my franchise in case he's thinking of bolting. If you get that number one pick, you can use that as a chip to maybe acquire a player that is currently on someone else's roster.
He's more than likely gone anyways.
Probably so.
Here's the odds tonight. Phoenix has a 25% chance of grabbing the number one spot. The Suns need it badly. The Suns have made...
Suns need talent.
They need talent badly. I mean, they have flubbed up some deals in the past. The Suns need a star. Memphis is at number two, and I have harped on Memphis for the last couple of years on this show because I thought that they had Fizdale, who I think is still going to be a good coach. We'll find out in New York. It didn't mesh with Mark Gasol, who I believe is worn out as welcome in Memphis. You way overpaid for Mike Conley. Mike Conley is making more money. At one time, it was the richest contract in NBA history. And you have Chandler Parsons on your payroll. So I believe three of the top 25 paid players in the league are right now on Memphis's roster, and none of those three deserve to be top 25 paid. So the Grizzlies could use a breath of fresh air, a shot in the arm, if you will. They have a 19.9% chance of winning tonight. I think the Grizzlies need it badly. Another team who has the third best odds tonight would be the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks are going to ride the Dirk Nowitzki train until the wheels fall off or it goes off the rails, and we're just about at that point right now.
Milk that cash cow as long as you can, Mark Cuban.
Same, look, Dirk Nowitzki seems fine with it.
Yeah.
They grabbed Dennis Smith Jr. last year. Excellent pick. Kid's got a bright future in the league. Overpaid for Harrison Barnes, and we're seeing that. They overpaid for Barnes, but to be expected, the Mavericks are a bad basketball team, and they need their next star. So the three teams that have the best odds of winning tonight, I think, are in dire need of something in that regard. Then you have the next group, okay? Atlanta has a 13.7% chance. The Hawks are always one player away. They've been one player away my entire life. I mean, really, when you take a look at the good Hawks teams.
You don't even know how much longer that franchise might be in Atlanta.
You really don't.
Because they might move to Seattle when that stuff gets approved.
Orlando comes in at number five tonight. At one particular time, I was wrong on Orlando, and I never have a problem with saying when I'm wrong here on the show. There were three teams 3 years ago that I thought were ahead of the curve in terms of rebuilding. I thought the Utah Jazz, the Boston Celtics, and the Orlando Magic. And two of the three, yeah, I was right. I didn't anticipate Gordon Hayward ever leaving Utah, but the Jazz have been fine in that regard. Boston, obviously, they retooled, and they retooled in a major way. Again, we were talking about the trades that are making the lottery interesting tonight. Danny Ainge didn't sit and wait for Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce to fall by the wayside. He moved them while they still had trade value, but were in the midst of becoming inconsistent and ineffective.
And set his franchise up with
and
those
picks. So we knew that Boston was going to be in a situation like this 3 or 4 years ago. Orlando is a team that I thought would be better. They have Vucevic, they have Elfrid Payton. They had Elfrid Payton that I thought Elfrid Payton was going to be the real deal.
At Oladipo.
Oladipo. They had Aaron Gordon. I thought Orlando was on the right track. Not the case. So you look at this group, Atlanta and Orlando, who are number four, number five in the lottery odds tonight. Sure, they could definitely use a guy like Doncic, but if you're not in the top two, and again, we agree that number one and number two are your prizes because you're going to get Ayton or you're going to get Doncic. Number three is probably going to be Marvin Bagley, and that's not a bad consolation prize. And I could see a guy like Bagley fitting in Dallas. I could see a team like I said, Orlando and Atlanta. The Magic have been in a bad way since they moved on from Dwight Howard. They have not made the playoffs in the past six seasons. They traded Dwight Howard. That was 6 years ago they traded Dwight Howard. Can you believe that?
It's been a long time, 6 years. So what, 2012 was the last time they made the playoffs?
You got the Bulls who will come in right behind. A decade ago, the Bulls jumped up to win the lottery. and they took Derrick Rose. That was a decade ago. It was 10 years ago the Bulls won the lottery. A lot has changed since then, but the Bulls, and again, it's in Chicago tonight. Don't forget about that. Could the Bulls jump up and steal number one? But if I'm looking at the teams that desperately need to win this lottery tonight, I don't think I'm off in saying that it's the three worst teams in Phoenix, Memphis, and Dallas. Those are the three teams that could use it. Now, Cleveland, look, Cleveland is set up, regardless if LeBron comes back next year. Now, are they going to win a championship or contend for an Eastern Conference championship if LeBron leaves? No. But they're not in the same situation that they were in when LeBron left the first time.
No. I mean, they got money, and they can move some parts.
They have assets, yes. Yeah. To hit the reset button this go-around is going to be a lot easier. The Knicks... Yeah, the Knicks have like a 1.7% chance, I think.
Porzingis injury, rumors maybe he might miss the entire season next year or this year coming up. So the Knicks need one of those players.
Can I recant this entire segment? Every team that we've talked about in the lottery needs help.
Everybody. We just keep going down the list of teams and like, well, they need help too.
Yeah, they need help. So they need someone.
Whoever wins it needs it the most. Yeah, there you
well,
go.
Well, no, not unless it's Cleveland, unless it's Boston, Cleveland or Philadelphia. Boston,
because they don't.
The Clippers have a slight chance. The Clippers could use some help. The Nuggets, they have the a 0.5% chance of getting in. They were the very next team to make the playoffs. But looking at it front to back, look, Doncic just fits in Dallas, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that just fit for this guy, who's one of the greatest forum prospects we have seen, to step in with Dirk Nowitzki? Wouldn't it make sense?
Makes sense.
DeAndre Ayton in Phoenix just makes sense. I mean, to me, again, it is Memphis, Dallas, and Phoenix. I think those three teams need to win the lottery. And like I said, this is the last year that the lottery will be held as we know it. Drastic changes moving on to next season. And my pet peeve about the NBA, quit allowing teams to protect lottery picks. The trade scenario, all the trades that you and I went over 5-6 minutes ago, that's insane.
If you trade a pick, you trade the pick. You can't protect it.
And what's amazing to me when we talk about the lottery is a team like the Lakers. They traded this particular pick 6 years ago for Steve Nash. When you think about it, it was top three protected the past 3 years. They landed the number two pick three consecutive years. It's insane that they finally have to pay the price on a Steve Nash deal that happened 6 years ago. The NBA needs to fix that. Lottery reform after tonight. Enjoy it, because the chaos, the farce, as I call it, of the NBA lottery, it will change drastically next year. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We're going to stick with the NBA. I want to get your thoughts on Game 1 last night. Short series. I think you and I both agree. Tonight we get Game 2 in the Eastern Conference. That's coming up next.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade Formicola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Real name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the game. Real name, no gimmicks. That's why I ain't got no.
Back for this final segment of Drive Time Sports, Tuesday edition of the show. Do not forget, coming up next, it is the third session of our Meet the Candidates here in the month of May. You're going to hear from Emory County Clerk Auditor Brenda Tuttle and Russell Larson. They're both going to be on the June primary ballot. Also, Democratic Carbon County Commissioner candidates John Jones and Joe Chrisman. That's coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll send you out to the show on the campus of USU Eastern. And don't forget, you can also watch it at KOALITV.com. It's Meet the Candidates. Before we get to that point, though, Travis, I do want to talk about last night's game, Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. We had Golden State. We had Houston. A lot of people, pretty much everyone, not a lot of people, everyone could have predicted that this was going to be the Western Conference championship at the beginning of the postseason. I said this yesterday, I'm going to go back to it, that this is going to be a short series. I like Golden State in 5, and I'm being generous, because if Houston doesn't win game 2, it's over in 4. They're not going to pick up a win in Oracle if they lose tomorrow night at home. James Harden had 41 points, 7 assists in this game. He was pretty good. Chris Paul had his moments in this game. Okay, yet it wasn't enough. There was a couple of calls that could have went either way that affected momentum.
Draymond probably lucky that he wasn't tossed.
Probably, early on in the game, yes.
But the refs let him play, I guess.
There was an over and back call when it was 7 points. Should have been Houston ball. Wasn't given to the Rockets. Golden State was able to capitalize. I believe that extended the lead to double figures, if I remember right. But Harden was good, was fairly efficient from the field. Chris Paul, as I mentioned, 8 of 17, had 23 points, 11 rebounds. Only had 3 assists last night. Here's the problem in this series. Houston has to outscore Golden State. Games need to be in the 120s, maybe even in the 130s. And the final score last night was 119-106. It was not that close. This game was not in doubt over the final 3 or 4 minutes. It has to be one of those games where Houston is smoothly getting up and down the court and they're playing Rocket basketball. What makes this so difficult is that Golden State, for all the firepower that they have offensively, they are very, very good defensively. Okay, and I know that Harden got 41. I get it. Chris Paul was not able to distribute the basketball. That is by design. You take a look at some of the other top performers. Clint Capella, who I said was the most important player in this series for Houston, because Harden's going to get his, Chris Paul's going to get his. What can you get from Capella inside? He had 12 points, 6 rebounds, only shot the ball 7 times because the offensive pace that Golden State implemented last night prevented Capella from playing the way he has played in the first two series in the playoffs. Does that make sense?
It does.
That's what I saw last night.
Yeah, and one thing, there's a guy over there in Golden State that nobody can guard, and that's Kevin Durant. There's probably one guy in the league that might be able to guard him, and that's LeBron James. So
I don't even think LeBron could guard him.
Yeah, and if you go back to last year, Kevin Durant is the sole reason why they, you know, walked through Cleveland. He played so good in the NBA Finals. So the Rockets have no matchup for Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant's going to continue to eat in this series.
Sean Livingston was also very aggressive early on. Didn't play a lot of minutes last night. Played like 14 minutes, I think. But early on in that game, he was very aggressive offensively. The roles that Golden State plays, it sets up. It's like playing chess. When you play Golden State, they are playing chess. Everything is for a reason. Livingston's aggressive nature offensively opens up so many lanes because he's so lengthy. He can definitely take care of the basketball as well. I mean, when I watch this team play, I am thoroughly impressed with four egos, four all-stars, no egos, and the constant movement. Klay Thompson had a couple of rough spells in this game. He was 9 of 18 from the field. I think he was like 6 of 15 from deep. Had a couple of air balls, but he never stops moving. The offense is a thing of beauty. Houston does not have the defense to slow Golden State down. Golden State has the defense to get Houston out of their game plan. And that's what happened last night. And that's what's going to happen in game 2. And that's what's going to happen in game 3. And more than likely game 4. This will be a short series. 5 games at the most.
Yeah, the Warriors frustrate the Rockets. The Rockets offensively, their offense is not as crisp as the Warriors. The Warriors, you know, the ball movement where Houston's coming down, it's kind of one-on-one play with Harden and Chris Paul. So, short series. If it gets to 5, I mean, after watching last night, I'll be shocked because I think they're going to
If it gets past 5, I'll be shocked.
Yeah.
Houston's just not in the
they're
same
They're just not
world.
Good.
They're not as good. They're good, but they're not as good.
Yeah, they're not as talented, and we all knew that the Warriors were going to get back to the finals.
If Houston was in the Eastern Conference, they would represent that conference.
This would be the finals matchup.
Right, it would be. Nobody is on the level of Golden State. Like them or not, you have to be honest with yourself. I don't know how you guard this team, especially when Steph Curry is healthy. It's going to be a short series. Bring on whoever in the Eastern Conference is not going to matter. Nobody's going to beat Golden State 4 times in 7 games. It's not going to happen. Out of time on this edition of the show. Again, Meet the Candidates is coming up next. We're going to send you out to the Black Box Theater on the campus of USU Eastern in just a moment. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.